بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 22nd of December in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 16th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Venerable Chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that on the face of it, it looked like that he had defended the chief hypocrite. But the report actually indicates that this was before Abdullah ibn Ubay had technically embraced Islam. And just to reiterate Sa'ad ibn Ubadah's words, he said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be gentle with him. For by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brought you to us just as we were planning to make him our king. Thus he feels that you have usurped him of his kingdom. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pardoned him, recorded in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. But like I mentioned, this advice that Sa'ad gave, radiyallahu anhu, was confirmed by the divine revelation, i.e. in verses of, in Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, where it mentions that you should show patience during this time. So with regards to the vile chief of hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay, Asim ibn Umar ibn Qatada rahmatullah alayhi said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Madinah, its chief was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, over whose honor amongst his people there was no dispute, to the extent that the Aus and Khazraj never agreed on anyone other than him, whether before or after him, until Islam appeared. Thus, when his people left him for Islam, he had the feeling of resentment, seeing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had deprived him of his right of kingship. However, at the same time, seeing the insistence of his people in embracing Islam, he ultimately entered it unwillingly, concealing his unbelief and rank. This is recorded in Tabari in his Tafsir 23-407, Al-Bidayah 4-179, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seer of page 323-4 of the New English Translation. So here this is the reality. He was on the verge of becoming the king of Al-Madinah. But then the Prophet arrived, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he didn't embrace Islam. So the report I mentioned yesterday was when he hadn't embraced Islam. And he was outwardly showing hatred for it. But the report says that when his own people started embracing Islam, he had no choice. But he entered it unwillingly, still burning with rage from within. So note, this is why he was concealing his hypocrisy. And if you look at the seerah, at many critical moments, he tried to undermine the glorious deed. And we'll mention at the relevant time where Sa'ad ibn Ubadah was inadvertently involved. Indeed, the mercy to all the world, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still never gave up on this most vile man, and even visited him upon his deathbed. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I used to constantly tell you to stay away from the love of the Jews. For it ultimately leads to nothing but loss. He responded, still defiant, As'ad ibn Zurara radiyallahu anhu hated them. So what? For despite that, he passed away shortly after your arrival to our city. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Abu Dawood, number 3094, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 21,806, Tabarani in his Kabir, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 1-491 Sahih. So note the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy to the universe, he was still trying to bring him around, even on his deathbed, imagine, didn't give up hope. And you would have thought that on his deathbed, he's, you know, have a change of heart, because just imagine what he had seen. You know, it's not like us who've heard a few, you know, lectures, read a few books. He's with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you would expect that on his deathbed, he's thinking, I better say the Shahada quickly. So when the Prophet came to him, look what he said to him. Very interesting statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I used to constantly tell you to stay away from the love of the Jews. Now why did he say that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the Jews and him were allies. And they were corresponding with each other to undermine the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was basically telling him, look at their fate. Because at the end of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had been exiled. The Jews of Khaybar had been subdued. And he told him, he goes, look, they've been subdued and you put your trust in them. He goes, I warned you about that. Then look what he said. This shows that the illness hadn't left him. As'ad ibn Zurara hated them. So what? What did he mean by that? As'ad ibn Zurara was one of the Nuqaba. Remember, the first six to embrace Islam. He's one of them. And then in the first pledge, he was one of the 12. And in the second pledge, he'd given his pledge again. So he was one of the great ones of the Ansar. He was the chief of the blessed tribe, Banu al-Najjar, of Al-Madina. He paved the way for the Prophet to come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when the Prophet actually came, shortly after that, he died. And Asad cut his ties with the Jews immediately. So this shaitan, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're telling me to stay away from the love of the Jews, but how did it benefit Asad? Soon as you came to Medina, he died. As if to say that shows that you're not a prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look at his sickness, right? You can see that the munafiqs, they've got their warped understandings. Indeed, if one reads and studies Surah Al-Hashr, Surah 59, one clearly sees that no other than our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as brothers shaitan, the hypocrites and the mischievous Jews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. I mean, think about that. So Allah ta'ala calls them brothers. So who are the unholy brothers that Allah ta'ala describes? One is obviously shaitan. The second is the munafiqs and the mischievous Jews. And weren't those the three most spiteful to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But notice their brothers. Brothers conspire and help each other. And Abdullah ibn Ubay, he's another level. Even the Quraysh were corresponding with him. The unbelieving Quraysh. They were telling him, if you don't sort Muhammad out, we're going to sort you out. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet actually came to him and he says, you may have been hearing things from the Quraysh. Because don't be foolish. Because you will fight your own people, meaning that many of your people have embraced Islam. So not everybody was prompting the shaitan. And whatever opportunity he got, he would try to undermine the glorious deen. And this is why he died. And he died without belief. And he was the chief of all the munafiqs. But such was the mercy of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the only munafiq that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, offered the funeral prayer for. So when he was about to start the funeral prayer, Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, he goes, are you going to offer the funeral prayer for him? And then he went through a CV. He goes, when he did this, and he did this, and he did this. And then the Prophet kept turning away, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've been given a choice. Meaning, at that time, Allah the Almighty and Glorious hadn't revealed a clear verse. So he offered the funeral prayer. Imagine, the funeral prayer was offered for him. And then shortly after that, Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed in Surah Tawbah, never pray over them. And then, if that wasn't all, his son, who was a great sahaba, Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the son of Abdullah ibn Ubay, goes, Ya Rasulullah, please give me your shirt so I can shroud my father with it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his shirt. This is in Sahih Bukhari. And the reason he gave his shirt was because Abdullah ibn Ubay had given his shirt to Abbas when he was caught in the Battle of Badr. So the Prophet was repaying that kindness. And then if that wasn't all, after he was buried, the Prophet then exhumed his body again, took some of his saliva, started wiping it over his body. And the scholars say, what that was for, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But he was the worst of creation, even worse than Shaitan. Because Shaitan is not a munafiq. If you look at various reports, Shaitan doesn't go to the lowest helper. It's the munafiqs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa that the hypocrites will go to the lowest of the fire. Why? Because they're playing a game. whatever you can say about the unbelievers, at least they were sincere. For example, Abu Jahl, we don't love him, but he wasn't he sincere, right? At least he said, look, I don't believe. He didn't start going around, I'm in doubt and this, that, right? He just said it as it was. So because of that, they're not the worst of creation. Though the munafiqs, that the Quran says, they move from one flock to another flock, neither these nor those. So note here, he was the chief of the munafiqs. And why is that fascinating? We've got the best. We've got the best Muslims, the companions. We've got the best kafir, Abu Jahl. We've got the best munafiq, Abdullah ibn. Everything's best. But the best could either mean the best of the worst. You understand? Or the best of the best. And this is another sign from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even our Fir'aun is the greatest. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Jahl is the Fir'aun of this ummah. But how do we know he was greater than the Fir'aun? Because when Fir'aun was drowning, he said the Shahada. He goes, now I believe. In Surah Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam. Fir'aun of this ummah, when he's about to be struck by Abdullah ibn Masud, still defiant. He goes, oh shepherd, you've climbed high. Right? So even when he was dying. So note, again, these are signs from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other huge thing we can take from this is that no matter how much effort you make, if guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because logically, you think everybody's going to embrace Islam at the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But did they? Think about that. If you go, well, if I was with the Prophet for 10 years, 100%, what happened to Abdullah ibn Ubay? So it's the guidance, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Abu Talib, another strange personality, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? You would have expected him to be amongst the greatest of the Muslims. And yet, according to the dominant view, is that he died without Iman. So again, when we've been given Iman, we should be so grateful that Allah has given it. And of course, we should pray that we remain steadfast. So moving on to the next section. Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu's participation on the various battlefields. So now we can turn to the battlefield. Shortly after our beloved messenger's famous migration sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Al-Madinah, the Islamic state was now formed. And our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to send out armed group of his companions in what historians have called Saraya, the expeditions. So there was no jihad in Makkah. But what do I mean by no jihad in Makkah? Meaning on the battlefield. Of course, there was the jihad of the nafs. But the jihad on the battlefield came in Al-Madinah. So before the main encounters, i.e. Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, there were small expeditions and they're called Saraya. Why did the Holy Prophet send these small expeditions out? What was the wisdom? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's many, just to mention two. Firstly, the neighboring tribes around Al-Madinah had sympathies with the unbelieving Quraysh, thinking them to be the superpower in Arabia. Something thus now had to be done to persuade those other tribes around Al-Madinah that things have changed, so that the Islamic capital would be safe from any potential threat and could thereupon be used to propagate the message to the rest of Arabia and then to the world at large. So this is one reason. It was a tribal time. They were very strong in tribal affiliations, but they also were allied to each other. Most of the tribes around Al-Madinah were allied to the unbelieving Quraysh. Serious problem. Why? Because if the unbelieving Quraysh prompted them, they would attack the capital. So the Prophet had to deal with these tribes to send a message to them that everything's changed. So Saraya, that's one reason he sent these expeditions out. Second, the Quraysh caravans were particularly targeted. Why? Simply to weaken them financially and to recompense the Muhajirun for the losses they had incurred upon their forced migration to Al-Madinah. So even though the Prophet was targeting other caravans, predominantly it was the caravans of the unbelieving Quraysh. Why? Because they had forced the Prophet to leave. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he lost all his wealth, his property, everything. So this was to recompense the Muhajirun who had come with him. With regards to the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, I've mentioned this, but I'll mention it again. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah's fighting prowess could be determined from the following. He could write Arabic in Jahiliyyah at a period when writing was rare amongst the Arabs. He was also a skilled swimmer and archer. And whoever was adept in all three was called Al-Qamil, i.e. the complete. Recorded in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 477 of the English translation, in the chapter on the companions of Badr. So like I mentioned a few sessions back, he was called Al-Qamil, that was a nickname of his. And that would be given if you had three qualities. One is you could write. They weren't really fond of writing, the Arabs, because they focused on their memory. But if you could write, that was a good thing. Secondly, he was a skilled swimmer. Not many Arabs could swim. Why would they? You know, who wants to swim in the Arabian Peninsula? And thirdly, he was an expert archer. So he was ready for jihad. He was prepared. It is also a matter of immense honor for this most noble man that in the very first battle led by our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the battle of Waddan or Al-Abwa, he appointed no other than Sa'd ibn Ubadah as his deputy in Al-Madinah during his absence. Subhanallah. Refer to Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 328 of the English translation, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 2, page 235 of the English translation. Think about that. If somebody goes, what was the first campaign the Prophet led? People say Badr. And he goes, no. It's Abwa or Waddan. And be honest, most of us won't know what you're talking about. You might know what Abwa is because Rasulullah's beloved mother is buried there. And that's interesting. Think about that. Where his mother is buried, radiallahu anh, that was the first campaign of Rasulullah. Look how symbolic that is. He went to that place to do jihad. But, leaving the details, when he went on that campaign, the very first, who did he deputize as his Amir in his absence? So even if you didn't know anything about Sa'd, you're thinking, if was he appointed by the Prophet? Yes. So imagine, he was taking the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Amir in Al-Madinah. That was a very symbolic gesture by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus it would be sufficient to relate what Hafiz Ibn al-Athir said of him, rahmatullah alayhi, in Asadul Ghaba 2-281. Not only did Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu participate in all the Prophet's battles, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also had the honor of carrying Al-Madinah's banner in each of them. Subhanallah. Not only did he participate in all the Prophet's sallallahu alayhi wa sallam battles, he also had the honor of carrying Al-Madinah's banner in each of them. Think about that. So Hafiz ibn al-Latif said, he fought in every campaign. Incredible honor. Not only that, whenever he was in the campaign, he would have the flag of the Ansar. So from these few facts, you're thinking, subhanallah, he's also an incredible warrior. There's another thing that we should not need to know about the great Sa'd ibn Ubad radiallahu. So making a start on the next section. The glorious battle of Badr. In the second year after the Hijrah, news faithfully reached Al-Madinah that a huge caravan of the Quraysh was now returning from Syria to Makkah, carrying enormous wealth belonging to his residents. 1,000 camels loaded with goods led by Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu, with a company of men not exceeding 30 or 40. So let's look at this. So it's the second year after the Hijrah. So the Sahaba have migrated this the second year. They've spent the entire year in Al-Madinah. News reaches them that there's a huge caravan, 1,000 camels. So just imagine what's loaded on camels. 1,000 of them are loaded. And that camel, 1,000 camels, are led by Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, who was one of the prominent men of the Quraysh, radiallahu anhu. And he only had 30 or 40 guards. So now why did they have such few guards? Because nobody bothered attacking them. The bandits said, we're not going to attack the people of Makkah. But they'd still have a few guards, you know, just to make sure, just in case something kicks off. So that's important to highlight. If you go look at the other tribes and their caravans, there were 200, 300, 400 guards. 30, 40 for Quraysh. So what's going on there? Nobody would attack them because of the incident of the birds. It's still fresh in their heads. They go, look, these are the people of the Haram. Leave them alone. The blow received by the people of Makkah who had lost their property and wealth was painful indeed. And the wealth of this caravan alone would be sufficient compensation for the losses the Muslims sustained during the Hijrah. Our beloved messenger assessing the situation, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here is the caravan of the Quraysh containing their riches. Go out and intercept it. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you as spoils. Recorded in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 2, page 253 of the English translation, with a sahih chain of transmission. So here the Prophet made his intention clear. He goes, look, they're in striking range. And inshallah, if you intercept it, maybe you will receive spoils, meaning make up for the losses that you've suffered. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thus did not order anybody to go along, nor did he urge anyone who had remained behind. It was thus clear that he had not planned a fully armed encounter with the unbelieving Quraysh, a fact which can be ascertained clearly from various reports. So this is very important to highlight. The Holy Prophet had not planned a major encounter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why is that important to highlight? Because why is that important? The Battle of Badr took place, yes. But you need to know that. It's very important. He had not premeditated a major encounter with the unbelieving Quraysh. His intention was the caravan. And if you look at the reports, it clearly indicates this. And the proof is he didn't force anybody to go, nor did he urge anybody to come. So let me mention a report to indicate this. So this is recorded in Ibn Mardawih, Ibn Abi Hatim, Al-Bidayah, volume 3, page 263. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 73-4. He comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 60-1 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiyallahu, the blessed host of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he relates. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to us, whilst we were still all in Al-Madinah, I have been informed regarding the caravan led by Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu, that it is approaching. Are you thus now prepared to go out to it, that happily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give us booty from it? We responded, yes, we're ready, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus he set out and we went out with him. So stop in the report. So what's the key statement here mentioned in the report? He, Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu, said, whilst we were all still in Al-Madinah. So before the Prophets left the holy city, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's done mashura. What is his consultation? The caravan. And they said, we're ready. So what was their intention? The caravan. The report continues. Thereafter, after we had traveled for one day or two, he thereupon said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is your opinion regarding the Quraysh? For they have now been informed that you have set out to ambush their caravan. So stop in the report. Suddenly, change of circumstance. They've head out. They're going for the caravan of Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. One day passes or 2 days. So meaning they've traveled double digits. How many miles you can imagine? 10, 20, Allahu A'lam. So they're well outside of Al-Madinah. The Prophet receives news now that the caravan is safe. And not only that, they have alerted the unbelieving Quraysh in Makkah that your caravan is in danger. And they've now set off with a huge force to defend the caravan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now says to the Sahaba, what do you think of the Quraysh? Meaning, caravan, Quraysh now. We responded, no, no, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not able to fight the enemy. For our force is small. We only intended the caravan, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what do you now think about fighting the Quraysh? We responded the same, no, because we've only intended the caravan, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi, meaning we're not prepared for the, they've come in fully prepared, we haven't. Thereupon, so they said it twice, so who's saying it? The Sahaba, imagine, we're not ready for the battle, we're not ready for the battle. Upon this, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, he said, radiyallahu, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we are to fight them, we shall never say to you what the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to him when they said, and he recited this verse, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 24. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. فذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هاهنا قاعدون. You and your Lord, both go ahead and fight. We shall remain sitting here. Astaghfirullah. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu said, we the Ansar so desperately wished we had said what Miqdad had said, for this would have been more beloved to us than having an abundance of wealth. So stop in the report. So twice the Prophet asks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about the Quraysh? No, we're not prepared. Short pause, he asks again, what about the Quraysh? Because no, we're not prepared. The third time, Miqdad, he responds. Miqdad is one of the Muhajirun, radiallahu anhu. He goes, we will never say to you what the people of Musa said to him. Now what's the context here? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Pharaoh had drowned. He left with the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. And when they're traveling, they get to a certain point. And then Allah the Almighty and Glorious says to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, go to the promised land, i.e. Jerusalem, Palestine. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he sends 12 spies. 12. Two are mentioned in the Quran. Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam and Qalib radiyallahu. The 12 go to Jerusalem, spy, they bring the news back. Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam and Qalib radiyallahu anhu said, they're strong people, but inshallah, nothing to worry about. If Allah Ta'ala is with us, we'll deal with them. Some of the other spies, they were a bit here and there, they went, well, you know, the people, when they heard the other 10 say those negative kind of weak comments, they said this. And who did they say it to? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكْ, you and your Lord both go, فَقَاتِلَا, go ahead and fight, إِنَّا هَاهُنَا قَائِدُونَ, we shall remain sitting here. Look at the state of these people. If that wasn't in the Quran, you're thinking, I can't believe a community would say that to their prophet. It's in Quran. Not that we'll go with you. You and your Lord, meaning we're all going to sit. You see what's going on. When you've done it, we'll come and join you in Jerusalem. So Miqdad radiallahu anhu said, we will never say that to you, Ya Rasulullah. Then look what happened. Abu Ayyub noticed that the Prophet was very happy over this. His face started shining like the full moon. And then he said, we the Ansar, we missed it. Because if only we had said what Miqdad had said, because it would have been more beloved to us than such and such. Then Allah the Almighty revealed the following verse of the Quran. In Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, verse 5. Audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَقَارِهُونَ. Just as your Lord took you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from your home with the truth, whilst, i.e. after a few days of marching, there was certainly a group of the believers who were unhappy, i.e. for they were initially targeting the caravan, and now not prepared for battle. Allah Ta'ala revealed that verse there. So this is the report. So why have I mentioned this report here? Because it clearly shows Badr wasn't something planned. It was the unbelieving caravan, the Quraysh caravan, that was the target. But Allah Ta'ala was moving the pieces. And what does he reveal? Now this is the sadness. Look at the verse that was revealed. Just as your Lord took you from your home with the truth, whilst there was certainly a group of believers who were not happy. Now think about that. If I just took that verse out and I just recited it to you, because what does that verse mean? So you would think, where is it, brother? It goes Surah 8, verse 5. Surah Anfal. That's Badr. He goes, okay. So what is Allah Ta'ala telling you about the Badris? And then he goes, so read that verse again. Just as your Lord took you from your home with the truth, whilst there was certainly a group of believers who were not happy. What's Allah Ta'ala saying about the Badris? They're not happy. There you go. What's special about the Badris? See, you can easily play games. Nothing special about them. Why are they unhappy? Quran's telling you that they are unhappy. Who they unhappy with? Rasulullah. What's special about the Badris that you keep pumping out? And the response is, when was it revealed? No idea. Nobody's studying, right? And then he goes, it was revealed when they'd set out. And they were unhappy. What was their unhappiness about? They weren't unhappy not to deal with the Quraysh. They were unhappy because they weren't ready. They weren't prepared for a full-scale battle. So they weren't cowards, you fruitcakes. And yeah, mashallah, people, you know, not bothered about anything. Next minute, go and join your brothers, innit? Astaghfirullah. Thus a monstrous mistake people often make when relating this holy verse is that they say this, and they still say it to this day, I've heard it. The companions were from the very onset in Al-Madinah most unwilling to face the unbelieving Quraysh. Look how they're twisting things. Because the companions were cowards. Because from Al-Madinah they were buttering it. And they quote that verse. Hang on a minute. That verse wasn't revealed in Al-Madinah. That verse was revealed 2 days march towards the caravan of the Quraysh. Why have you brought it back? Because they want you to have the understanding, warped understanding, that the Sahaba were cowards. And your response is, Astaghfirullah, not only have you lied, you've given an incorrect commentary of the Quran, which is kufr, according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note again, you know, what sort of a religion have they got, where their whole religion is based upon belittling the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So what I mentioned today was basically the end of Abdullah ibn Ubay, good riddance, and how our beloved messenger still tried to save him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his fate was sealed. And then I mentioned a little bit about who the brothers are, the unholy trinity, the shaitan, the hypocrites, and the mischievous Jews. And then I mentioned an important thing with regards to why our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was targeting the caravans, because this is what the kuffar look into. They goes, look, he's not a prophet. He's raiding. He goes, do prophets raid caravans? He goes, what sort of a prophet is that? So you have to answer that. You say, you're right. There was raiding, if you want to call it a raid. But there was a reason for that raiding. And then you explain to them. And they go, oh, right. Oh, sorry, we didn't get that. And then you explain that. And then you obviously mention the greatness of Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, showing that he was deputized and also the standard bearer of the Ansar on the battlefields. And then I mentioned now the glorious battle of Badr. And really, it was Allah the Almighty and Glorious who was arranging this battle. This is why it's so beloved to the believers. It was arranged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asri lil insani lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu al-'azim.